Super excited about the show. Well, that wasn't quite the intro I was expecting. How about you? No? Aren't you glad you tuned in? What tuning would be involved in this? This is a terrible launch for a podcast. This is Binary Jazz. We're 45 seconds in. We're finally saying the name of the show. I just said before we started recording that I'm frazzled today, and I think that it's already evident. Binary Jazz, a podcast.
I'm still trying to figure out what tuning would be involved in a podcast.
I don't know. I mean, I think of tuning like a... Yeah. You know, I play guitar, and I used to have like a standalone tuner. Yeah. But now the app on my phone is so much better than the tuner I ever had as a standalone device. At some point, does the phone replace the guitar itself? You just strum your phone? I guess you'd need two, wouldn't you? Or like one really long phone?
I don't think your phone could replace a guitar. Your phone can currently replace a keyboard because there are apps.
Computer or computer.
No, I mean like
one.
Synthesizer keyboard.
MIDI. Yeah. So this show is about nothing.
Obviously,
Allison gives us the topic, and then it's still about nothing. As Chris and I dance are not talking about the topic. And then we close with questions. That's kind of a synopsis of the show. Allison is the person that brings the topics. She is also a microphone salesperson for the high-quality podcasting microphones manufactured in Canada. And Chris, of course, we all got to became friends through the process of microphone sales conventions. Chris, of course, manufactures microphone salesperson carrying bags. So you can put your microphones on each side. You pull up and they knock on a door to demo your microphones, and there you have it. and I make microphone cables. Allison is Allison Plus on the internet. Chris, I always get your name wrong because of this show. really, it's Jazz Sequence on the internet, but that might be the first time I've gotten it right in 10,000
episodes. 10,010.
Is this 10,010 today?
This is 10,011.
Okay, I must have missed 10,010, which is rare. It's very, very rare that we have sequential numbers like that, isn't it?
That's true.
And who are you on the internet?
Oh, Binary Gary.
And
I got that right.
Collectively, we are Binary Jazz on the internet.
Yeah.
Although, honestly, maybe we should change it to Binary Jazz Plus. Because I mean, Binary Jazz is obviously a combination of Binary Gary and Jazz Sequence, and that's the name of the show, but we have a plus. Binary Jazz Plus would just make sense.
That's clever.
Isn't it?
Yeah.
It only took us 10,000 episodes to
It hear. Did. It only took us 10,000 episodes to realize that we named the show incorrectly.
Well, I was not a part of this.
I think the Twitter archives show differently.
I was a part of it, but I wasn't. I was a hapless bystander, really.
Yes.
Enthralled in the tornado.
Fully
the tornado that is.
I had a reminder in Slack to send Chris the GIF of Fry mooning like once a month. I would get a reminder in Slack to moon Chris on
Twitter. Is that what it was?
Well, it started out, I ran into something and thought I should send you that GIF. And your reaction was so wonderful, I said, well, I need to make this a recurring thing because I enjoyed it so much. And it created such an interesting interaction that then it became a thing. And it was probably after the fifth or sixth time when we had a conversation and decided to start a podcast. So for half a year, I was mooning you on Twitter just because I missed you.
Wow.
See, I thought that what triggered it was you would habitually come across my really bad code. And every time you came across my bad code, you're like, oh, this is crisp. moon.
I think the first time, it wasn't even code the first time. It was like we came across like a strategy decision that I think I misunderstood. I don't know. In any case, you weren't there, so of course you were the guy that got the blame, right? So yeah. The first time it happened, that's and then fair. As a result of the interaction on Twitter, I decided that it should be a recurring thing. Like, what do I use Twitter for? Mooning Chris seems like a good use of Twitter. And it's a pretty short list right now. What is Twitter good for? That's high up there.
Yeah.
It's also good for users to submit questions, so feel free to tweet at us.
It may look like
someone is like focused today.
It may look like our Twitter account is unoccupied and only auto tweets when we have a new episode, but that is incorrect.
Here on standby, waiting.
You're here on standby, just waiting for some sort of interaction.
There, this is the second episode we've recorded while World Cup is going on, correct? Or no. This is the first episode recorded.
It's the first.
I would like to point out that we are 6 minutes in with no soccer talk.
I was doing it out of respect for you, Gary.
I was gonna actually
talk about Germany if you want.
I feel like I missed something with Germany and I don't know what it was.
Germany
won. They've been eliminated, is that right?
Yeah, yeah.
Okay.
And they won. Last year.
Oh, wait, time out. Spoiler alert, if you're listening to this podcast.
Well, at the time this one comes out, though, if people are...
Not really new news.
People are saving the games that long at that point, and I...
Wait, does this episode come out tomorrow? This episode comes out next week.
No, this one will come out next week, so...
Yeah.
At that point, right. If they're not up on the World Cup,
by this point next week or next week this or yes. Whenever in a week.
Yeah, you should know that. Which really the saddest part about Germany being eliminated was that when they won the World Cup in 2014, there is this amazing gif of Mueller dancing in a nightclub, doing this sort of like Gangnam Style kind of dance. And it was the most charming and amazing thing that came out of the entire World Cup. And the fact that it will not be repeated this year makes me sad.
Well, and it won't be repeated this year, obviously, because Mueller is busy in D.C. and not playing soccer. So same guy, I would assume.
Different Mueller. This is Mueller with a umlaut, I believe.
Still a double L?
No.
I don't know. Anyways.
Definitely getting off to a good start. I was going to mention that we're in the middle of the World Cup, but I did, apparently. So
you're like, I'm not going to let anything stop me.
One way I know we're in the middle of the World Cup is because I can hear cheering in my neighborhood when certain teams play.
Yeah, and you've talked before about being in sort of a multicultural neighborhood. So is it like just like constantly on all sides at different times?
It's like, well, because so when Poland plays, that's a pretty big deal in my neighborhood. And I'm curious to know what, like how it'll develop, like if, what fallback teams will there be at some point. But yeah, Portugal is a big deal. There's lots of horn honking. For Portugal, for Brazil, for Poland. So I don't think there's any games currently being played. So there won't be.
The games are done. Well, are they done for the day? No.
I think there might be another round at 2, but I don't think there's anybody that my neighborhood will be invested in. But I'm not actually like really in the thick of it. I'm like a few blocks away from bars and things. So it's pretty funny that I can still hear. When someone scores.
Yeah, I was actually thinking yesterday, because we went to the Utah Royals, the NWSL team here. They played last night. And so as we were driving to or from, I was thinking about what you said about your neighborhood being multicultural and World Cup being a big thing, and thinking about how it's not at all a big thing here. And wishing that it kind of was, because it would kind of be nice to have people kind of coming out of the woodwork and celebrating their teams, and it just doesn't sound a thing.
Yeah. Obviously, though, your company Slack has to be pretty crazy about World Cup.
Yeah, we have a newly created sports channel, it's sort of a general sports channel, and basically all the talk in the sports channel currently is World Cup. And we have an internal bracket that we are doing for, well, not really a bracket, but like it's a prediction thing, and it does have a bracket component that we're doing that has about not quite 20 people, I think, doing it. So
how are you doing in that?
I was third, and then I dropped to fourth or fifth, but I'm not doing as bad as I could be doing, especially considering I don't watch most of these teams. So I'm literally basing all my predictions on like reputation and like kind of vague knowledge of the area geographically and what I think of their sports programs. Yeah,
that was my approach, and I'm getting throttled in ours.
Apparently,
there are 12 people playing. I'm number 10, so I'm not the worst. But to be fair, like the number 12 spot, the person that's going for 12 wanted the loser's prize, so I'm really like 10 out of 11.
I will
barely holding that spot down.
There was a bonus section that had where you could make predictions about who's going to advance in the groups, who's going to win the whole thing, and all that sort of stuff. And I did predict Germany to win the whole thing. So I'm not going to get that bonus point. I don't feel so bad because Landon Donovan tweeted yesterday that he also predicted Germany would win the whole thing. So if Landon Donovan also got that wrong, then I feel like I'm in good company.
Sadly, you're not in a pool with Landon Donovan.
So. Yes, sadly, I'm not in a pool with Landon Donovan for a variety of reasons.
For so many reasons.
Right. Yeah, clearly. Yeah, really. Hey, what's our topic today?
Oh yeah!
It's not the World Cup.
That's not the topic. It's Landon Donovan.
Whoa! My mind is blown.
The topic today is. Although it would be really funny just to have an episode dedicated to, maybe that'll be
obscure soccer like trivia or something. Yeah.
Just a person.
Just that just that picture of Landon Donovan drinking from a water fountain. An entire episode about that picture.
Just dissecting it. Why was he so thirsty?
Why does he look like he's trying to seduce me?
Yeah.
What? Gary's like, what is this picture you're talking about?
Yeah.
We'll try to include.
Yeah, but I'm okay shifting the episode if that's where we're going.
Try to
Should I Google this right now?
In the show notes.
Probably.
It's Landon,
yeah, Landon Donovan, Donovan Water Fountain. It's probably from
Oh, okay.
Binary Jazz, interrupting your Google searching history. Disrupting your analytics. Since.
Yeah. What is going on there?
Experience. This week's topic is domestique.
Domestique.
Mm-hmm. Those are the...
D-O-M-E-S-T-I-Q-U-E.
So this is obviously in preparation for the Tour de France, right? And domestiques are the... No, hear me out on this. I know.
I'm
on lockdown.
My face dropped. I'm like concerned.
These are the folks, and their job is to be like the water and food runners for the team lead. So they are world-class cyclists. I used to watch... Do you remember there was this guy, American cyclist named Lance Armstrong, right? I was a big Lance Armstrong fan. I loved watching the Tour de France. I mean, I never missed it for eight, like, drug-addled years, apparently. I was drug-addled. He was. Yeah. Well, and then there was Floyd Landis the year that, when like, shortly after Lance left, and then Lance made his big return. And, so the domestique's job is to function as support for the rider that is expected to win on their team. Or has the best chance of winning. Although some teams approach it with two riders and they see who fares the best after the first stage in the mountains, which is either the Alps or the Pyrenees, and then depending which direction they're going through the country. Yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to shift the topic to two possibilities that it is obviously not because you already know what it is. And we're going to pretend that one or both of these things are the actual thing that it is. So either it is a French dominatrix. Domestique,
yeah.
Or it is like domestic help, like your indentured servants. a proper, like, formal, instead of saying I have indentured service, you say I have domestiques.
That softens it.
Yeah, softens it quite a bit. Yeah,
the class difference.
So what I wonder is this role specific to like cycling stage races, or does it exist elsewhere in the world? Like is a caddy for a golfer considered a domestique?
Oh.
Or is the definition very specific to cycling?
Yeah, so the question is it a category of roles, or is it a, like, for a general thing versus a particular role for a particular thing?
Right, is it like the same thing as saying, like, third baseman? Like, that's specific to the sport of baseball. Whereas, like, I can't think of a position that would be general.
Outfield? Outfield.
Yeah, there you go.
Or infield, yeah. Or just field player.
Sure.
Is that a thing in baseball? Now I'm like, my...
When was the strike? The baseball strike was 89, is that right?
Yes.
Yeah, that was it. That was the end of baseball for me.
It was. It was the end of baseball. It was.
I mean, I loved baseball. I lived and breathed baseball until the strike, and then, I don't know, just...
Yep. Yeah, me too.
I got into alternative sports, like cycling, apparently.
Apparently. You.
I shunned pretty much all sports after that.
So, Chris, did you not get caught up in the whole, like, Tour de France, Lance return?
Nope.
No?
Man. Straight to Tour de France.
We were, really? I think it is as beautiful a sport as soccer ever is. I mean, it really, it's an amazing sport to watch. And the strategy that plays into it over multiple days, it's neat. You should give it a chance. Pick some random team. It starts in just a few days, correct? Or did it already start?
I think it starts the beginning of July, yeah. Because it overlaps with World Cup quite a bit, and we'll have some overlap happening in my household. We'll have early mornings and many and late. It's like a lot.
That's the best part of the Tour de France, is that it's by nature, it happens mostly in France. So
it's true.
Well, they really
mostly they will do a stage outside, or stage two or three stages outside, usually near the beginning.
Ever so briefly.
Yeah. Yeah. And then it's always a big deal, like regionally in France, like where the border is and the celebration and the flags, and Bastille Day always happens during the race, correct? And that's always a big celebration. And I feel like, maybe it doesn't happen as often as I think, but I feel like a Frenchman usually wins on Bastille Day. Or it's happened several times.
I think they almost always let them win that
let
day.
The break stay away. Yeah. Yep. There are so many interesting unspoken rules that exist. It's really fascinating. Really fascinating.
Everything that I know about cycling comes from the triplets of Belleville. It's everything I know about cycling.
Something I should Google.
What's probably coloring my opinion about cycling is the fact that the way cycling and cyclists are represented in that movie is by these disproportionately endowed men who spend so much of their time going with that face, which was a really horrible face that I was making for those of you listening and not watching.
Mm-hmm. An excellent soundtrack.
It has one of the best soundtracks of all time. Yes.
Do we know what percent of our viewers are listeners and listeners are viewers?
I know that our YouTube videos get very few hits, and that we do get some downloads on iTunes, and I don't know that I've looked at the Google Play downloads, and I don't think that I have a way of tracking people playing the podcast from the website, but I think that the iTunes downloads are greater than the YouTube watches. So, yeah. But if you are watching on YouTube, please subscribe so we can get a custom URL, because having a URL that is not /binary jazz. Really sucks. And need 10 subscribers, I think, to get a custom URL. So please just hit the subscribe button. Hit the subscribe button and then like go into your settings and say, don't ever notify me when a new episode comes out. Or don't. I mean, notifications are cool, but you don't have to. Just subscribe blindly and then walk away. That's the minimum level of expectation for anyone watching on YouTube.
That's right. That's where we set the bar here.
Minimum level. Very, 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 very low. Don't watch. Just hit subscribe and go away.
And walk away. Make yourself a sandwich.
Do you subscribe to anything on any YouTube channels?
Yes.
Okay.
I do.
I do not.
I don't.
Subscribe to Binary Jazz, Gary. Did you not just listen?
No, I kind of glaze over when we start doing like the self promo stuff.
I
already heard the show. I'm not gonna listen to it again.
there's only a couple channels that I have notify me when there's new episodes. One of them, the YouTuber, basically doesn't record stuff anymore. He used to do a lot of stuff. It's Charlie McDonald, and he used to be a big thing. Made really regular, and he was funny. But now he doesn't do stuff because he's making films, I guess. The other one is JP Sears, who does, if you're not familiar with JP Sears, it's Awaken with JP, and he does videos that are, he does like kind of sort of self-growth and self-help type things, but he has a series of videos which are far more entertaining called which is where the Awaken with JP stuff. It's ultra spiritual with JP, and so he basically does satirical things about like yoga culture and health food type culture and just various things and veganism and gluten free, and so all these things touch on like things that relate to me directly, and he does a really good job of making fun of, because obviously he's very deeply a part of all of these things. So he does a really good job of making fun of himself and those, and the sort of pomp around all of those various things and how seriously people often take those things and themselves.
Yeah. I ask because I think like YouTube being, I mean, as old as it is, right? I think there was a point where I probably subscribed to channels and then, or feeds or whatever they're called. But recently, like, I find one of my favorite things to watch is Everyday Astronaut on YouTube. Mm. Shocking to no one. but I feel like every 3 or 4 days, I'm like, oh, I wonder if there's a new episode. And I go and look, and there's a mechanism that would alert me that there are new episodes. And I don't know why I don't take advantage of that. It's silly. Really, what am I doing here?
Mostly these days, I subscribe to channels that I end up watching on our Apple TV, so that it's easier to get to them and easier to see those things, like, you know, recently uploaded from your subscriptions or whatever. Mostly I do it for that, not because I want to know specifically when those were uploaded, but because I want to have an easier way of accessing them when I do choose to watch them.
Exactly. Yeah. I don't really do the YouTube thing on my laptop, but on the Apple TV, when I can sit back on the couch and throw my feet up on the coffee table, right on.
Yeah.
Trying to think of things that I've subscribed to. I'm subscribed to Tiny Desk through NPR. That's a good route for new music for me. What else? Coding Train, which used to be Coding Rainbow, but I think they had some sort of copyright issue.
So now they're infringing upon Dinosaur Train as opposed to infringing upon Reading Rainbow?
A less powerful lawyer team, maybe.
I mean, aren't they both public broadcasting anyway?
I think so.
Because Dinosaur Train was on public television.
I don't know if I've watched enough Dinosaur Train to like to have a strong opinion on it. Sometimes I'm really a fan, and then sometimes I'm like, man, they're hopping all over. Like, I need some continuity between episodes.
The standalone episodes aren't working out.
Yeah, but I don't know if that's because I didn't watch them in order or...
No, it doesn't matter.
I'm not sure.
The order doesn't matter.
That's what I thought, but it feels like I don't know. I mean, it just feels like we're going all over the place.
It's
like I can't suspend disbelief and jump 30 million years while these dinosaurs are riding a train from episode to episode. Like, it's just not that to me. It's the jumping time by millions of years that bothers me. It's not the dinosaurs on a train traveling through time. It's the disconnect.
Yeah. So if there is another means by which they traveled through time, would it be, or is it the fact that they're dinosaurs and they're visiting other dinosaurs in completely different time periods? That's the problem.
It's the dinosaurs visiting dinosaurs in other time periods. That's the problem.
So if there are people visiting dinosaurs in different time periods, that would be okay?
Right, because the route they return to, it feels like the route they return to is not stable. It feels like the route they return to is really like a nebulous time zone. Like, what is this magical place where dinosaurs take a train from this nebulous place to other? And I guess my objection is pretty silly to start with, because
you're more okay with the Magic School Bus episode when they went to various points in prehistoric times to see different dinosaurs and plant life and stuff. You're more okay with that, getting in a school bus and jumping through time to visit different prehistoric time periods than dinosaurs on a train.
Miss Frizzle has a track record of doing amazing things with this school bus. So, I mean, this is not just like a one-off, like, boom, day one, we're going to see dinosaurs, right? I mean, we've been inside the human body. We've been to Mars. We've been everywhere in outer space. We've been to the depths of the ocean, and now we're going to go see dinosaurs. She has a track record that, as a parent, like, I'm signing that field trip form. Go to see dinosaurs. Cool. Have fun. You know? I'm not... Yes, that seems much more reasonable to me. Much more reasonable to me.
I never really thought about the field trip forms and the first field trip that she had to bring to the table and be like, now hear me out. It's going to sound crazy. Fine.
I don't know, though. Like, she's not just a crazy science teacher, right?
She's not doing field trip forms. I can guarantee.
I bet she is, and people are just like... You know, like the crazy teacher was, you know, art teacher or that weird science teacher. I think people were just like, okay, whatever. It's $4. Fine. You're going to feed my kid lunch? Like, I just packed lunch that day. All right. Whatever.
Paper bag lunch.
We went to Mars. Like, oh, that's awesome. Like, I'm not buying any of it. But these kids went to Mars. Man.
I'd want to be one of the, like, associate parents, the ones that get dragged along, where they're like.
Right?
And then their kid is like kind of embarrassed, but then the parent is like super into it.
Yeah. There was never really a cool parent that was the parent that went along, was there? It's all right. I've given up being cool. Maybe I never was. Doesn't matter. Just, I don't want to like stray too far off the topic, just for my own like understanding. Is there anything else interesting about Domestiques we should cover? I need to know now.
Was there anything interesting in the first place? Could be a good question. Now that I'm like, oh. Well, I think it's interesting. I don't think caddies count because I think caddies. Well, I think Domestiques are different because they're basically sacrificing any individual recognition for the recognition of someone else, and I don't think that's what a cat like. I don't think anybody thinks a caddy is doing that. I think they're providing advice and things. I don't know. I don't know much about golf. So are these
domestiques like also cycling on the course and like keeping pace with the leaders?
Yeah. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Like they're legit team members, but they're just not going to get any recognition or heyday. Basically, they're the ones passing the water bottles, the bananas and snacks. Being in front and like blocking the wind.
I would prefer, just for the humor, if we could say that they are breaking wind for the rest of the episode. They're in front breaking wind. Because I'm six, apparently. I think that, yeah, so I think teams are like 10. Is that right, Allison? Do you know? 10 riders? I think it's 10, whatever it is.
Good round.
There's usually like, you've got like the team lead who's either like in it for the general classification or is like a sprinter or climber. Some teams have someone that's in GC, but then also like a sprinter and or a climber. the domestique's role is to like prepare and protect that lead rider or riders, whichever the case may be, and keep them, you know, in the safe, fed, watered. It's like keeping a horse on a cycle, you know?
And like they'll sacrifice, like, so they'll even sacrifice parts from their own bike. So if something goes wrong, they'll like give tires or wheels or whatever. And like,
Or entire bikes.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like your bike's, I don't know, like you caught a flat, right? Well, take mine and I'll wait here for the team car and replace the tire. I don't know.
And also I thought what was interesting is that they've been doing it for as like early as the early 1900s, that there have been people who have been doing this for like their, for their leaders or whatever, which I was like, I don't know. It's interesting.
It's amazing to me too. Like they're world-class cyclists. Yeah. Who just have this, you're right. This like anonymous role in supporting these, you know.
Does anyone go on from being a domestique to being a lead rider? Is that a thing?
A few people have. I think, what's his name? I think Chris Froome did. This is where my weird niche of knowledge is, where I'm like, oh, these names that I've known. I mean, Greg LeMond, I think, was a domestique for a few riders before he won the Tour in the 80s.
So there is.
I think it's like a default role before you kind of move up. Yeah. I don't think that you. I think you have to be of a very rare skill set to be like day one, like the GC candidate on your team. I think that you kind of have to have that experience in stage racing before you're prepared to make a run at the whole thing.
And like because of, I mean, just like similar to World Cup, where it's like the athleticism and the age, and people retire so early age-wise and become announcers and whatnot, it does leave room, like wiggle room for people to be training, I guess, and be like the first in line to being on like the leader of their team, I guess. But how do they decide? Like, I don't know. It's such a deliberate tactical decision that it just seems like a very weird thing to be like, oh, you're going to be involved in the Tour de France. Congratulations. But also like, don't expect to win any of the days, because you'll be sacrificing your athleticism for this guy.
Well, but domestiques often are, if there's a breakaway, like sometimes when it's not drawn back in, I mean, those are the guys that win because they are pretty well like, he's not going to win the thing. So he can win today and, you know, gain a couple minutes, but long-term we know he's not going to win. So whatever.
throw him the day, because he's not going to win the whole thing.
Yeah, or like the wind shifted and we're not going to catch him, but it's fine, or like it's hillier than we thought, or whatever. Chris, you really should check out like some of the mountain days. Like as they get to the top, like the barriers fall out, and so you have these individual riders with like the crowd right on top of them, and the camera views are phenomenal because they have these guys on motorcycles just following leaders, beaming the video up to like a blimp or a helicopter back down to Brock. It's like, it's intense sporting. It's fantastic.
The so best exciting. Part about the mountain stages is that the jersey is polka dotted. and that's because a candy company used to sponsor, and it's very, I don't know. That's my favorite part. So when you're king of the mountains, you get the polka dot jersey. And that makes me very happy for some a Willy Wonka reason, I think.
I do love that the whole like jersey presentation at the end of every stage, and like the dude that starts in the jersey, you know, for each general classification and mountains and sprinters. That is fun. It's a fun event. Watch the Tour de France. I don't think we get very many other Grand Tours in the U.S. on broadcast or easily.
No.
So France is the only one I've seen.
Uh-oh, we've reached the countdown portion.
We have.
Oh, wow, I was totally distracted.
You were. So we have a
Except
number
for the intro, I feel, right?
Yeah.
We have a number of questions from Lisa.
What's the number, though? You said we have a number.
The number of questions we have in the queue currently is 5. Yeah. And they're all from Lisa. And it's not like she sent them all at the same time either. There is 3 that she did in quick succession. And then she waited an hour, and then she waited a day, And I find this, I don't know, this pattern very interesting for some reason. Like, oh, and another thing.
I like that because it's like some brainstorming and then some musing and simmering.
Yep.
Bringing a bit more to the table.
And then I think maybe after the fifth one, she's like, okay, I'm done. I need to be done because we're not going to get through all of these in the next episode. Clearly. So
she's correct.
Yes. So the first question, I don't know, it might be my favorite actually, is what position would you play in Quidditch?
Oh, interesting.
For myself, I would love to be able to say, that I would play Seeker, because that is obviously the coolest position. And it's the one that has like the least connection to the game itself, but because it's just randomly some dude up on a broomstick just looking for something completely unrelated to everything else that's happening in the game. But sadly, my eyesight is such that that would never ever happen. So far more likely I would be like a beater, just like some dude hitting the ball and trying to knock people off their brooms. That was probably what I would end up being.
I merely went for beater.
Yeah. I was going to, I'm double checking. Are they called seekers? Is that the other, the just like, they're kind of just like the players that hang out? Like the baseball field players.
There's seeker, keeper, beater, and something. This should have been the topic. What?
Maybe a chaser?
Chaser. Chasers are the goal scorers, basically.
Oh, I don't know if that's. I mean, like, truth be told, I'm going to be on the sideline. I'm a bench quit. I'm the second. third round Quidditch player.
You're the field manager.
I'm the person that's like hauling the equipment for you and like, you know, giving you like some pep talks, but I'm probably not going to be called into the game unless several people have been injured.
that's fair.
Which could happen in the world of Hogwarts. So
it's true.
It probably
true. Totally seems legit.
Okay, good. Next question. If you were a plant, what kind of plant would you be?
Oh, wow. This is a really good question. I am not great with plants. I appreciate them. I appreciate the variety of them, but I couldn't like point it and say, well, that's a plant. I mean, it's kind of like my limit right there, you know? And I would be correct. It would be a plant. I mean, I would be pointing at like a motorcycle or something. It would definitely be a bush or a shrubbery. It's kind of like green, growy thing. Yeah, I definitely have that part on lockdown. Plants, not plants. Like that, that's a thing I can do. Palm, some kind of palm. Queen Sego palm, maybe? Like ground palm. I know snakes crawling and stuff, but still, they're beautiful.
I've developed a serious affection for various like cactus type desert plants, partially because I live in a desert and I go to those places fairly frequently, and there's some amazing thing. There's choyas are pretty awesome. There's teddy bear choyas. Choyas are basically like they're cactuses, and they have these they grow out in these weird, interesting ways. They have lots of spiny things, and teddy bear choyas look like they're fuzzy, but they're not because it's all...
It's not fuzz.
Yeah, it's not fuzz. It's spiky. So like if you try to give a teddy bear choy a hug, then you would get full of spikes, and I kind of like that. I think that that's probably what I would be.
Okay.
We've psychologically got a lot to dive into.
Yeah, here. We don't need to psychoanalyze that. We just need to hear what Allison's plant would be.
Let's do that.
I think mine, I air plant, the ones that don't have roots.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
That you kind of just like dip in water occasionally.
That's a thing?
Yeah, mm-hmm. It's a thing.
Huh. Yeah. I was really hoping one of you was going to say the word deciduous. Deciduous.
A deciduous tree of some sort?
I don't know what it means, but it's a plant thing. So
it's one of the types of trees, like coniferous.
Sure.
Oh, so that's what I should have brought to the table, not domestique.
Yeah. Trees.
Trees.
Thank you for listening to Binary Jazz. If you like this episode, you can subscribe to us on iTunes or Google Play. You can visit us online at binaryjazz.us or follow us on Twitter at binaryjazz. Don't forget that you can ask us a question through the form on the website or on Twitter, and we'll read it aloud on the next episode of Binary Jazz.